Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
I am very excited. I'm very excited today because it's time for this.
Warning.
The following item is not recommended for little ears.
Because it's time for a dose of sex therapy with Rachel Cook.
Yes, and as always, a little ears warning here. You can catch this chat on the podcast after the show, wherever you get your podcasts. And today we're going to talk about sexual fluidity as definitions of sexual change and expand. Women's orientations are actually becoming less rigid than men. So I want to know why. It's all very relevant at the moment with Pride Month and all of that. But I'm delighted to say for the first time ever, Rachel Cook is in the studio.
How's it going, Jen?
You're real.
I'm a real person. I'm real boy.
I feel like it's like the Wizard of Oz. And it's like, I thought you were like this giant. You're like, you're a real person. Sex therapists, relationship experts are real people too.
We absolutely are.
It's great to see you. Thanks
too
for coming in. So let's get to it. Sexually fluid, what does that term really mean?
Yeah, so being sexually fluid, I mean, basically the way we think about sexuality is changing a lot.
Good.
People are increasingly open to discussing, you know, sexuality and more sort of unconventional or what were previously sort of invisible sexualities or identities are just becoming more and more mainstream now, which is brilliant.
Is that the dream for you? Like, is that like, oh, thank God, finally we're getting somewhere?
It kind of is the dream for me. It's that, you know, who you're attracted to and who you love is not about what's in your pants. It's about, you know, being attracted to all sorts of aspects of someone else rather than it being specifically about someone's role or genitals or these concepts that we have of masculinity or femininity. So sexual fluidity is not actually a sexual orientation, but it's a way of describing how more and more people are recognizing that they are not perfectly only either straight or gay. You know, so monosexuality is when you're only attracted to one gender. And then this sort of sexual fluidity, which can include bisexuality, pansexuality, and a couple of other things, that's when you can be attracted to more than one gender.
Okay, so are women, because this is what we want to discuss, are women naturally more sexually fluid than men, would you say, or what's going on there?
Oh, well, we're seeing a lot of research that has been showing that women appear to be a lot more sexually fluid. And over the last 10 years, there was a piece of research that lasted 10 years in New York that came out, I think, last year. And it showed that men, because again, most of this research is done on a binary where it's men and women. They're not including other genders besides that. So that's kind of most of what we have to go on at the moment. But basically, it showed that over the course of 10 years, men's sexuality has remained, you know, between 85 and 90% would describe themselves as straight, heterosexual, only attracted to women. Whereas over the course of that period of time, women have gone from 77% saying that they were only straight, only heterosexual, monosexual, yeah, to now only, I think it's 65%.
Okay.
So quite, there's just a lot more women who are more open about this.
Is a reason for that? Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here,
yeah,
Rachel.
Go.
Because men wouldn't be as honest.
We think that's part of it for sure. I think a lot of it is actually to do with the fact that feminism has allowed women to have a lot less strict views of what home life looks like. You know, like even 50 years ago, women, but you basically couldn't have a life as a woman unless you married a man and settled down because he needed to provide for you. Maybe not 50 years ago, but certainly 60, 70 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and so now we're like the socio-political landscape is just changing so much. But basically, we don't really know because exactly as you said, men, because of what traditional masculinity and even still like current masculinity says to men, it's not OK for men to sort of be more open.
Be fluid
about
yeah.
this. You know, it's like you either have to say that you're straight, gay, or some people, especially in urban environments, they might be is a bit more allowed to be bisexual. But, you know, there's also a kind of quite, I would see quite misogynistic element to this idea that women are, it's almost like it doesn't count for women to be attracted to other women. It's just fooling around. You know, there's an aspect of that, of kind of discounting that, you know,
really?
It is sex. Yeah, so okay. I think there's that element too. It's not just that things are easier for women or more open. It's also that there's this sort of invalidating aspect too. Women are allowed to kiss and hold hands and cuddle and, you know, no one would sort of bat an eyelid, which on one hand is great, but on another can be saying, oh, like, that doesn't count if women are fooling around with each other.
Why can't we just all say we're fluid? Because wouldn't that make it easier? Because isn't it the labels that can be a problem? I sometimes when we talk about these things, I know we talked about labeling things. It can be a good thing sometimes,
yeah.
because then people find their tribe, so to speak. But
big
if
time.
We all just say, look, we're all a bit fluid, then there's no questions asked, and it might make things a little easier.
Heard it here. That's exactly what we need, Jen. Yeah,
that's what we need to do. But I need to ask you, because I'm a little confused.
Yeah. So
are being sexually fluid and being non-binary the same thing?
They are not, in the sense that we usually, when someone describes themselves as non-binary, they're referring to their gender identity. So
okay.
what they're saying is they don't identify specifically as a man or a woman. But some people will describe their sexuality as non-binary, in the sense that they're saying that they are fluid, or that changes for them over time.
Okay.
So, but usually when we use the term non-binary, that's someone actually referring to their gender identity
rather than
their sexuality.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. I'm glad we clear that up. Can you be attracted to different genders in different ways?
Absolutely. You know, this is something that I think is really exciting to explore at the moment.
It's like,
is interesting. You could maybe want to kiss and cuddle with people of a certain gender, but you might only have sex with people of another gender. And, you know, that the idea of that, sometimes I think people will do this because they're frightened of describing themselves as bisexual or pansexual. And so they will say, you know, well, I'm actually straight, like I'm heterosexual, but sometimes I fool around with other people. And sometimes that's just to do with the fear of being judged for being anything other than heterosexual. But I also think there is this greater fluidity, greater openness about how you might be able to interact with people of different genders. And the thing is, you know, this can be very simple. You might be attracted to someone who you view as, let's say, male, because of what your cultural conditioning has told you is male. But if that person, if their gender identity is non-binary, then you have already now entered into a space where you are not heterosexual on some level, because you have now been attracted. Now, some people won't necessarily change the label, right? Just because you've had a one-time attraction to someone of a different gender to usual doesn't mean you have to now relabel yourself necessarily. But it can be interesting to look at that, because so many more people are identifying as, you know, non-binary or gender queer, or just outside of that male, female.
Just going back to labels and identifying as something, do you think they're more positive? They do more, they have more of a positive impact than a negative impact? Because from where I'm sitting, not from the expert's eyes like you, I would say that it's the labels that cause the problems. You know, having to come out and say you're a certain way, and having to say, and there might be, you know what I mean? That is where a lot of the problems lie.
Yeah, and I think maybe it's even more to do with the feeling that you have to broadcast it,
right?
Rather than, you know, like, if you have a label that you're happy within yourself, cool, great, all good, if that makes sense to you and you feel comfortable within that, and, you know, it's not harming you, other people, then fine. But if it's something that, it's a bit like this idea of coming out, you know, which is a rite of passage often for people who are not heterosexual or who are outside the gender binary, but that often the pressure involved in coming out and feeling like you now have to, you know, there's all these expectations that either people have of you or that you perceive that they have of you, that can be just so unbelievably stressful, that people will now put you into a different box. Well, you shouldn't be acting like that, because, you know, if you're non-binary, then you're being too feminine, or, you know, or if you're gay, then you shouldn't be, you know, talking about being attracted to, you know, someone of the your
always other
gender.
People wrecking
exactly.
everybody's buzz.
Exactly.
So, Rachel, what is the future of sexual fluidity?
What
do you see? I mean, are men going to catch up?
I think they are going to catch up. You know, I think that we've had, with the women's movement and lots, you know, around feminism, women have, things are much more open for women, and, you know, there's still lots and lots of challenges and a way to go. But men haven't yet had that kind of a movement. You know, I often think there's often really good intentions behind some of the really toxic stuff, like the men's rights activists and the incels, you know, often the desire underneath there is the intention can be quite good, which is to break free of these conventions and restrictions around, you know, sort of how you live your life, your lifestyle, your sexuality, your gender. But I don't think men have yet had their time to be able to break free from the sense. A revolution, right? Which doesn't have to be in opposition to women. It needs to be finding a place where things are just a lot more, you know, fluid and sound.
So, men, you need to catch up. There you go. Rachel Cook, psychotherapist and mental health consultant. Thank you for that. And she's here in the studio. You can actually follow Rachel on Instagram at Rachel Jane Cook with an E on the end. She will be back next week. If you have any questions, if there's anything, because we get a lot of emails into the show, don't we, Rachel?
We
people
do.
Kind of pushing subjects or problems or things they want to discuss, Rachel is always here for you. So if there is anything you would like us to discuss on this very show, and you can write an anonymous email if you like, just send it to me, Jen at rt.ie.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.